Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Dave Giesling, who's CEO at the FEI Group. Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, just living the dream, Kemp. How you doing, buddy?
That's why I wanted to talk to you. Let's see if we're going to be able to live our dreams. Real quick, though, let's lay out what the FEI Group is. It used to be called Floor Expo. You actually are a membership group of flooring contractors that focus on the builder, both on the single-family and multifamily side. And you changed your name because you added a line of, I guess, cabinets. Does that kind of catch everybody up to who FEI Group is?
That pretty much puts a point on it. Okay. We moved from Floor Expo to FEI Group for two reasons. One is the establishment of a cabinet group made it very difficult to answer the phone, Floor Expo.
Right.
But secondly, we've really integrated into a lot of other channels, even within our existing groups, where it's not even remotely just about flooring anymore.
Okay.
So it was really an overdue change.
Which means you really do have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the new construction area, and that's really what I want to talk to you about. Because, I mean, if we look at it today, and the question might be, is it always darkest before the dawn? Because, I mean, we just got some recent stats that aren't good. After a couple of months of fairly good stats, I mean, if we look at the new home pace, it's at a 309,000 unit pace, which is not good, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I think, Kemp, you have to, I wouldn't take that with a grain of salt. It's more substantial than that, obviously. But there are, particularly in these days, what happens 1 month to the next is not nearly as important as understanding the trends and where things are moving. The NAHB, for example, is very firm in projecting a broad-based housing recovery and expansion process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, lately we've had issues with some lackluster sales, certainly starts, and then even builder sentiments, this emotional notion of how builders might view the future.
Yeah.
Have tempered this near-term outlook somewhat. You mentioned that last month we were down 11% to a 309,000 unit run rate, which I believe was about as low as it's been in say the 50 or so years we've been recording this data. But at the same time, you know, the winter was particularly dicey, so the weather has absolutely affected those numbers. But of course, we've heard that before. So winter is always, you know, a little more sketchy than the other months throughout the course of the year. But I think this one was particularly tough. Then you have this on-off, on-off, on-off pattern of federal tax credits for home buyers, which
right.
tends to kind of cluster some of this buying activity. And the strength of these federally related sources of mortgage credit, it remains a little bit questionable. So as we're coming out of this phase, it doesn't surprise me at all to see a blip like this. And I do believe that January's numbers were a blip. We went back, I was thinking before you called, about our national conference in 2006. So 4 years ago, we were discussing the likelihood, we believed, that this was going to be a multi-year downturn. And we actually mentioned 2010 as a potential year for a turnaround.
Right.
And frankly, I'm feeling more like 2011 at this point, and we'll get into some of that. But it really shocked, I believe, a lot of members and suppliers and so forth, this notion that we might not be looking at 6 or 8 or you know, 10 or 12 months, but you know, 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and this is what's happened. But a lot of these things can't lead to, the longer this goes on, and the more months we have where we hit, say, a 309,000 unit run rate, demand becomes more and more pent up.
Right.
The NAHB still says that we're looking at, say, 16 million new homes needed over the course of the next 10 years. And they also suggest, and I believe it's correct, that this excess inventory, for the most part, can be erased from the spreadsheet, so to speak, by the end of, say, 2012,
mm-hmm.
which is another couple of years, 2.5 years. And taking these numbers in terms of household formations and obsolete units and so forth, we're looking at averaging over the next decade, say, 1.5 million single-family units and about 300,000 multifamily for somewhere around 1.8 million starts on average.
That's the need?
That is going to be the need.
Yeah.
And there have been forecasts below that. Buffett has suggested it might only be 1 million units and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I don't believe that. And of course, I don't think anyone knows for sure at this point, but it's just too low. People are still having babies. There is still this idea that the American dream exists of home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
The balance in terms of the percentage of the population that owns homes is falling back into check right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even multifamily production is probably close to the bottom and should begin to upswing potentially by even this summer, you know, pending some activity with credit and so forth. So I think the longer this idea that we need 16 million new homes in the next 10 years, for example, suggests that the longer the downturn persists, and we've said this for years now, the more pent-up demand you will see unfold when we hit the tipping point. And some of the tipping point may be related to just general consumer confidence. I mean, emotional things that you can't really, we can attempt to measure, but you really can't. And as those things begin to unfold, there is demand.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of activity. And frankly, my hope is that as we come out of it, Kemp, we don't have one of these spikes again. I'd like to see a fairly slow, sustainable, predictable recovery that does not generate a glut of capacity to install, you know, flooring, cabinets, countertops, and these sorts of things that we're involved in, because it's not a healthy thing for the market.
So along the premise of what I said a minute ago, we might actually be, and I'm talking about this, the darkest before the dawn, we might very well be at the bottom. There's a huge amount of pent-up demand and could bust loose at any time. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, it could. I mean, I don't want to overstate that, Kemp. Yeah. I mean, it's the fact is, if you interview anyone now and they tell you they know exactly what's going to happen,
just
go ahead and hang up.
That's
because
right.
We really don't know. But I, you know, the recession, it appears, was over sometime in the third quarter last year.
Right.
Real GDP has surged up to just below 6%, and that was really the interesting thing. There is, it was an increase in productivity and not employment. So we're all doing more, but businesses are not really hiring quite yet. Just there's still this trepidation. Are we really coming out of this or not? And I think more folks will start looking for jobs that had given up, and you might even see unemployment spike because of optimism for a short period of time, which is, to your point, it could be darker before we come out of the hole. But we've got low rates. You know, the fixed rate mortgage yield is going to be below 6% at least through next year. The funds rate is rock bottom through that period of time. These low production rates, this 300,000 to 400,000 unit window that we've hit and been riding in for a while, call it 500,000 or 600,000 units this year, give or take, is not sustainable. My guess is that the NAHB is right, and in 2011 we'll probably have maybe 750,000 sales, maybe 800,000 starts, and this is growth.
Yeah.
So even coming out of the hole, everyone can make money. It can be a healthy market. We won't be doing what we were doing in 2005 or 6, for example, but growth is good.
Mm-hmm. So the members that you have, what is the consensus with the membership? That it's still going to be 10 is going to be tough, and or actually the second half of 10 is probably going to, I mean, you know, what do you think they're saying to themselves?
It's interesting. There are the biggest piece of data, and I use the term data loosely here, that I find interesting with our membership is anecdotal evidence. So if you go back, Kemp, maybe a year and a half ago when the slide really hit, and go forward for, say, 6 or 8 months, there was absolutely nothing good going on.
Right.
Nothing. And you fast forward to now, and over the past several months, including last month, where we hear these, we have some bad numbers. The anecdotal evidence is very good. You know, dirt is starting to move, bids are going out, business seems to be increasing in a lot of markets. Forecasts are up in a lot of markets. This is not to suggest it's that case. This is the case everywhere, because in certain markets it's still extremely tough. But generally speaking, it feels, you know, Jay Smith, our president at our conference last fall, said we're really in the mindset now of not how long is this going to last, but what does this recovery look like? What's the recovery going to look like? And that's the feeling that we have with the membership right now. We've got very healthy businesses that have survived this, and we're very optimistic.
Actually, I'll make a plug for you. When we do our top 100 list in November every year, about a third of them are your membership. I mean, some of the largest movers of flooring are FEI group members. It's a group of professionals, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. Let me ask you, we've talked a little bit about the outlook. Another quick question before we run out of time. I just the other day did an interview with John Ball, who's an investment analyst, and he's talking about this whole shift in consumers' taste and how they're going down to value. On the new construction side, do you think that's going to be a factor? We're going to see less hardwood and more vinyl. What can you say about that?
Well, there's probably a two-part answer to that question, because what are we going to see, and then in reality, what are we already seeing?
Yeah.
So we're already seeing a shift to, you know, vinyl, for example, from a lot of different hard surfaces that have been preferred for a long period of time. And it's I don't know if it's so much tastes that have driven it up until this point. I think it's just reality that has changed this mix up until this point. But going forward, you know, we had a trend, Kemp, for, you know, 10 or 12 years where lot sizes continued to decrease and the average square foot square footage in a new home was increasing. And there clearly is movement psychologically away from these extravagant homes with vaulted ceilings.
Yeah, five-car garages and three walk-in closets and entertainment centers. And, I mean, we're moving away from that, aren't we, a little bit?
We are, but it's a pendulum. Yeah. You know, it's a pendulum. So we'll swing one way and then we'll swing back. And again, even that is, some of that is taste, where the home buyer wants to be more practical. They understand how bad things can get potentially, and so they make these sorts of decisions. And then the flip side is credit vehicles are not there that used to be there to facilitate these, you know, upgrades and larger, nicer homes and so forth. So that there's a practical side and an emotional side to it.
All right, so back to the surfaces thing. You think that it might be a short-term shift, and as soon as the pendulum starts swinging and things get healthier, more people are working, we might go back to hardwood and ceramic and some of these better surfaces.
No question about that. Yeah. No question about it. I think the shift to more base-type installs is because of necessity and not desire, and I think memories are short, and the American economy is still a robust economy. We have some issues to deal with here now, but no, these things are not going away.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you started out the interview, say you're living the dream, and I asked you how you're doing. So, so actually, you are optimistic, and you see that this might be the year that we see the turn.
I don't think Jay could have put it better at our conference. I mean, the notion now is, what does this recovery look like? What do we need to be doing now? Mm-hmm. You know, we have, for the first time ever, we're not doing regional meetings this spring. We're doing one meeting in Chicago in the middle of April. Mm-hmm. With all of our members, a very, very content-rich, nose-to-the-grindstone agenda, and we're enthusiastic about attacking this. There's a lot of opportunities out there. I don't think we've ever had the interest in terms of new membership in all of the groups that we have right now, which is really telling in terms of how the independent is looking at it, moving into this recovery in the future. So it's an enthusiastic time. We're very optimistic and positive about it, but we're also practical. I mean, the world has changed, and we've changed with it. Look, if it was easy, it wouldn't be any fun.
Right. Dave, I appreciate you being with us this morning. I've been talking to Dave Giesling about the outlook for the builder market, and he's the CEO of the FEI Group, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.